Welcome to Friends with Pineapples. This podcast is intended for adult audiences only. If you are not over the age of 18 and interested in listening to sexually explicit stories and opinions, please leave now.
We are two millennial best friend couples who share our experiences and opinions on the swinger lifestyle to shed light on the positives and against the negative stigma.
These are our own views, thoughts, and opinions. Nothing we say should be taken as professional advice or anything other than entertainment.
Now that we have that out of the way, come join us. We are Friends with Pineapples.
Welcome or welcome back to Friends with Pineapples. I'm Blake.
And I'm Ash.
And today we're going to be recording a quick episode without Paul and Nikki since we weren't able to make it over there. Hopefully we'll have a new episode out with all of us together here soon. But today we are going to be discussing secret signals and nonverbal communication.
Yeah, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into some of the nonverbal communication and just communication skills in general that we've definitely touched on in previous episodes. And then I do have a little bonus for us today. I have some questions for Blake about lingerie. And we're also going to talk a little bit about where you can find some lingerie. So that'll be fun.
Thinking about it now, I might should have saved that part to discuss with Nikki.
Oh, I'm sure she'll have more to add to the conversation later. So be prepared for follow-up on the lingerie conversation. We'll just kind of get started today. We'll get some of Blake's thoughts on the matter. And who knows, maybe Nikki and Paul will come back and give us some of Paul's thoughts on lingerie. So nonverbal communication cues play a really big part between couples, I feel. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about nonverbal communication cues, such as body language, tone, and gestures, things like that. And we'll get into kind of the details, okay?
Yeah, I think that it's definitely an important part of the lifestyle. You know, you have to be able to communicate with your partner in these different situations and make sure you're on the same page. And that can be hard to do for a multitude of reasons, whether that's just the environment being loud or, you know, you're near other people that you can't really just communicate your feelings out in the open. You know, you need to get them to your partner so that y'all can make a decision or something along those lines.
Absolutely, yeah. I use these different nonverbal cues with Blake plenty. part of it is definitely body language based, you know, reading each other's body language, being able to relatively easily tell when your partner has become uncomfortable or anxious or not okay in a particular situation. And then also tone and gestures. But one thing that I picked up on heavily when I was kind of doing some research is that physical touch is a very, very important factor in nonverbal cues, but also physical touch is just super important between partners. So when you look at that, when you're in a play setting or you're out in a swinging setting, it's really important to be able to leverage those different physical touch and body language factors to be able to get a read on how your partner's feeling if you don't have the opportunity to send them a text or have a conversation.
Yeah. I think I've joked before that I can usually kind of tell how you're feeling just by making eye contact across the room, mm-hmm. just from body language to the expression that you'll give me for that moment when we make eye contact. I can usually get a feeling of at least a general direction of how you're feeling, like we need to stop or go to mm-hmm. the side or and talk and figure something out, or no, I'm fine, I'm having fun, we can continue what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to read some interesting little comments from a Reddit thread I found. So if you want to go ahead and open that up so you can follow along with me, feel free. So Now, on Reddit, I found a thread that particularly was responding to someone asking about using nonverbal signals to communicate with their partner while at a club, a party, or chatting with potential playmates. They've been thinking about how they could do that, and they put through some examples, not all of which I loved. And so, like, for instance, one of them included being tied to a rub your tummy and pat your head at the same time. And, like, are you realistically going to do that in a club? No. No, you're not.
Yeah, that would draw more attention to you than just yelling at your partner whatever you were thinking.
So, yeah, let's not rub our tummy and pat our head at the same time. But outside of that, like, one person said they always use a code, a 1 through 10 code. And so when they're entertaining potential playmates or just in a situation, they'll give a 1 through 10. And basically 10 means, like, get naked, we're doing this. And 1's like, hell no. And I kind of love that, you know, but that also implies that there's an opportunity to communicate that rating. You're not just going to shout out a number.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, either that or you're just flashing gang signs, like numbers on a finger, you know. They both look away for a second, and you're like, fingers.
If they are away, looking away, that would be an option. That's too funny. Oh, you're going to be all holding up numbers of fingers. I'm going to be like, wait, how many did you hold up? Show me that again.
No, I think a lot of the times people will have their phones on them. So, like, Paul and Nikki have talked about sending each other thumbs up emojis. Mm-hmm. I would imagine in their situation, they're usually just sending a number to each other and glancing at it.
Well, and the problem with me is, maybe this is my ADHD, I don't know. I either have my phone glued to me or I completely don't touch my phone. And typically, when we go into a play setting, because I want to feel respectful and giving my time and attention to my partners, I don't get on my phone. So,
well, you said play setting, but more specifically, just when we're hanging out with friends or meeting couples in the lifestyle, we generally aren't.
Yeah,
on our phones
I really much. Try and not get too, nose in my phone. And for that reason, I rely heavily on communicating with you with the body language or physical touch or other little things because sometimes I just don't have my phone nearby.
Oh, no, it's usually nearby. You just don't actually look at it is the problem.
Yeah,
there.
Or it could be dead.
It's right next to you.
On airplane
or it's laying
mode,
against you.
Or who knows?
You just ignore it.
Anyways, someone else said a swift kick to the shin for the win, and I'm like, well, that definitely communicates something for sure.
Yeah, who are we communicating with here? Are we fending
now,
someone off?
I would kick you in the shin to let you know, like, I want to get the fuck out of here.
Couldn't you just, like, gently step on their toe or something, you know, a little more nonchalant? Why do we have to go breaking shins? I'm not supposed to be wearing shin guards
keep that in
to the
mind
swinger clubs,
when I
okay?
feel the need to kick you in the shin somewhere. I loved this one. So someone said if you are in like a club setting or something, you could mention something you don't like. So for instance, this person said, I don't drink alcohol. So if them or their partner asks if they want to drink, then they walk. Like they know that's like a hint, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like...
Because that's something that is unique between you and your partner. So it's not like a red flag. It's able to be verbally communicated and you can easily be like, okay, we're going to go get a drink. And then exit the situation. I think, like, that's a really safe use for, like, a club setting, for sure. Yeah, they finished this by saying, if you do that, you meet, and then if you say that, you finish and pay your tab.
Another one that is kind of similar to that that I think would work if one of the two of you isn't a smoker, or I guess depending on the setting, if people know or don't know, you could also ask your partner to go grab a smoke or come with you to go smoke or something, and then just kind of walk out that way so that you can go talk.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's a pretty, you know, crowded space, busy place, something else you could try is, like, if you have your bag or even your phone or something on you, you could ask your partner, hey, like, I need to go to the restroom. Could you come with and hold my bag while I go or something, you know, or stand with me while I'm in line? Because often the bathrooms have lines. But that's also an option to kind of communicate that you need to be able to sidebar with your partner.
Yeah. Yeah, why do the bathrooms always have lines? These places need more bathrooms.
Maybe it's because we go to hotel places and smaller clubs that only have a number of bathrooms.
The hotel was fine because we could just go to our own room.
Yeah, that's true. If you're not on the party floor, though, that's like, you gotta like go.
Yeah, that would be a lot more effort. We were on the quiet corner of the party floor. It was perfect.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of which, I can't wait to go to a hotel takeover in like the next couple months. That's definitely on our agenda, hopefully with Paul and Nikki. Hopefully that lines up, but definitely somewhere within like March, April for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while. That will definitely be fun. It'll be fun to get out for a bit and hopefully get some good food while we're in town there for the hotel takeover.
For sure. You know, I love food. That's the only problem, you guys. You always talk about, like, not eating a lot whenever you're, you know, you're going to be doing stuff because you don't want your tummy to be upset. And I'm like, but I can't pass up good food. I really can't. I love good food.
Well, we'll eat somewhere really nice for lunch so that we can digest by the time it starts, and then we'll eat all light
right,
then.
All right, fair enough.
Preferably hot pot. That sounds good.
That does sound amazing.
Anyway, off topic.
Yeah, so to kind of strengthen the understanding of like how important this is, I noticed that there was a really awesome article. Let me take that back. I noticed there is an article with an awesome conclusion because I didn't have access to the full article without paying because it is like a full, I guess, text. Like you'd have to get it from a college library. Anywho, it says that the abstract is that swinger couples or committed couples who consensually engage in extra-relational sex for recreational purposes – it's really difficult for researchers to access due to the social stigma that's really associated with swinging. And so basically throughout this study of 16 husband and wife dyads that were interviewed separately, they found that although there were variations across the couples, the effective use of both verbal and nonverbal communication to increase sexual and marital satisfaction within the non-monogamous couples was paramount to the experience across almost all of them.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. If you're not communicating properly, then you're not doing this correctly, and you're probably not enjoying it because you're
missing out.
Well, you're missing out or you're spending too much time worrying, thinking what if or what is without actually just communicating. And I feel like that's not a problem within just the lifestyle or ethical non-monogamy. It's really just a problem with a lot of marriages. People are still uncomfortable with their own partner communicating things of a sexual nature, which can lead to uncertainty the same way that not communicating within this space would.
Absolutely. And so that does, that kind of notes that you need to have a foundation of relatively decent conversation in order to be able to really successfully utilize these nonverbal cues.
Yeah, the reason that I can get a look from you across the room and know exactly how you feel is because of how well we've communicated, how long we've been together. I very quickly can gauge your feeling because I know what you've expressed when I see those similar expressions or actions.
Yeah, and see, that's the stuff that I have a harder time like being able to articulate. But that's really interesting that you mentioned that just like a look can tell you a little bit about what I'm thinking or how I'm feeling. what are some of the physical cues that you tend to pick up on?
Well, body language is a big one. You can definitely tell a lot by how you're holding yourself, how you're positioning yourself as well. If you're near someone or touching someone, then clearly you're interested versus if you're just a little standoffish or there, as well as your expressions and how you're holding yourself, if that makes sense. Other than that, we've definitely done a form of the, like, hand squeeze thing, not with Morse code, but just grabbing or holding each other's hand, which is fairly common in a lot of these settings, and squeezing tightly or, you know, kind of looking along with those to try to communicate, hey, look at me, we need to talk, or I'm just having a good time, I enjoy your presence type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and part of the reason why we don't use something like Morse code in hand squeezes is because Blake knows that there's no way I'd be able to keep up. So, scrap that idea. Something simpler, please.
Yeah, I think really physical, that's the main couple that I can think of, unless you have any to add there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's more in-depth subtleties to things like tone. Tone can tell you a little bit about, like, if I say something like, oh, are you ready to get packed up and get going home? Like, how I say that could imply whether I'm wanting to stay, that's kind of an ask, or if I'm really tired or ready to get out of there for the night, and I'm saying, like, yeah, that's a hint. I am ready to pack up.
Yeah.
So tone can kind of change the intent of what you're saying to your partner. So nonverbal cues can also really rely on communicating particularly comfort, hesitancy, or pleasure. And I think that's really applicable here. So for instance, if I am speaking with someone or doing something with someone else, Blake might be looking for signs of pleasure rather than really looking into, like, my demeanor at that moment. Does that make sense?
I would agree with that. Yeah. I can definitely tell as well if you're enjoying something versus if you're, you know, not.
Or if someone asks me something and I'm hesitant, like, that usually speaks to you too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely noticed that. You can kind of tell with how you hesitate to answer or how quickly you respond to those. But more non-verbally, when someone's kind of making an advance, you know, generally everyone's always, in our experience, been very polite, asking for permission and everything, but still just how comfortable you look, how interested you look, because you might agree to let someone say slap your ass but not be interested in going and playing with them.
That's very true. Very, very true. And I think that's where another nonverbal cue comes in. You often will give me, I would say, like, an eye movement or up to a nod to kind of, I guess, show agreement or consent in a particular situation. So let's say that example, I accept, yeah, like, go ahead, slap my ass, or, you know, yes, I'll accept a kiss. But I'm really not looking forward, not looking to move things forward. You may be giving me an eye look or a nod or something to let me know how you feel about A, what I just agreed to, or B, about advancing that into more.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely been plenty of situations where you'll be asked something and you'll just...
I kind of look at you first. Me.
Yeah. And I'll kind of nod or, you know, look interested, and you'll either agree to the thing or decline. But Yeah, that's an important part of the communication. It's not because I control you, you know, you're allowed to do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there is a relationship, there's rules, there's boundaries within the ethical non-monogamy space. Mm-hmm. And so you always want to have your partner's agreement in everything that you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, just I think that's kind of what they call the mutual gaze, or, you know, kind of that eye contact with your partner. That's really important, where you're just allowing a little bit of what you're thinking or feeling, I guess, to kind of show through that moment where you're making eye contact.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we're weird. I don't know if other couples communicate that way. I hope we're not the only ones.
I mean, statistically, there's a lot of people in the world. We're not the only ones. Whether or not that's the most common option, I'm not sure. I'd say probably a majority of couples in this space are doing a form, combination, or similar thing to what we're discussing. It might not be exactly the same verbal cues. You know, it might be a smile instead of a nod or what have you. But there's definitely going to be similar things with any couple that's navigating the space.
Yeah.
You pretty much have to, or it's just not going to work.
Absolutely.
I guess at least that's from our perspective. You know, we are together in everything. It's same room. We're in it together. It's for our experiences together. People do play separately and not always stay together. So a lot of what we discuss is just really focused on us always being in agreement with each other.
Yeah, that's definitely true. If you were playing separately or hot wifing, there may be a little bit of differences in how that communication takes place, for sure. So keep that in mind if you're listening and you're like, well, you know, that doesn't really apply to me. That might be why.
Yeah.
So now I think I would love to go ahead and move into some questions that I have for you, Blake, about lingerie. What do you think?
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. So first, I wanted to ask you to share your thoughts with me on the allure of lingerie for men and its impact on, like, different intimate moments.
So I think one of the easiest way to describe it is it's like getting a present that's wrapped versus a present that's not wrapped. You know, they're both a present. They're both good. But one was wrapped, and you get to enjoy looking at it while it's there before you get to open it, and then you get to unwrap it.
Absolutely. I think that's the where we're bad about, like, even with presents, we'll not wrap it because we're so quick to get to the gift. We tend to do that with me as well.
Excuse me. I do believe that Paul, I, and C that they mentioned and discussed in the last episode were all kicked out in, I don't know, roughly 30 degree weather for around 30 minutes.
It
felt that long. The cold slows the time. Not sure if you're aware. We were outside while they all put on lingerie and they finally let us back in. And by the time we got back in, we all went to, you know, try to touch our presents, but now our hands were cold, right? So that was our fault too.
Oops.
Even though we were sent outside.
I mean, like, I don't know. You could have gone in the house or something. I don't know what to tell you.
No, we sat in a truck with the heat.
But see,
it didn't get
works.
Hot very well by the time we came in.
That kind of sucks. Well, anyways, even though we're often quick to get to the gift, I always love lingerie. And it's always fun to look at and fun to buy. And it can be very expensive, which is part of the crux of the issue. But alas, we're going to talk through some different places you might be able to find some good sales. But with those thoughts on how it impacts intimate moments, I definitely agree it's a lot like a present. I feel like it adds some spice and intention to any given moment, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I like intention. That was kind of my train of thought next was it kind of gives you an idea, at least in a public or not public setting, but like a ethical non-monogamy setting where people are walking around in lingerie. It gives you a feeling of them as a person, you know, how.
Ooh, like expressing a style kind of.
Yeah, a style, how outgoing they are, how open they are, you know, what okay. they're showing, what they're wearing, that kind of can help give an intention or a vibe that people will be looking for. I mean, that's it's the same reason we all dress is to.
I do have to say, though, with that being said, no state of dress is consent, but can help you visually gather a vibe. Yeah. Like, I get what you mean. I just wanted to throw that out there as a disclaimer.
Yeah, definitely.
So my next question is, what styles or types of lingerie do you find most appealing and why? And since you may not know what they're called, you may have to get descriptive here.
The kinds that are on a girl that is in front of me in them.
I don't like you.
Generally, that's that's about all it takes most guys.
I don't like you. Okay, I'll get a little more specific so we can actually get an answer here. And maybe this won't matter to our male audience, but our female audience might want to know. Thanks. So let's talk fabrics. I mean, leather, lace, latex, clear vinyl, I don't know. Is there anything that comes to mind that makes you go, ooh?
I don't think I'm that attached or interested to a specific type. I know that Paul is a bit into the leather latex thing. I definitely find that attractive depending on the outfit. I think I'm kind of similar to you as far as textures, so I like things that are soft.
Oh, really? So do you not like lace either as far as textures? Do you like it for the look but not the feel?
Yeah. It looks good to look at. But if I'm touching something over the clothes, you know, or feeling it, it just does not feel as good as something soft, silky, kind of smooth like that.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. I'm super picky about materials, so I would know.
Yeah, I was going to mention the lace thing that Ash here does not really have much lingerie with lace because she does not like lace. It is itchy.
Yeah, very few laces are not itchy, so there's that, which sucks because I appreciate the beauty of it. It's beautiful. I will suffer through it on occasion. So let's talk like themes or like, you know, there's schoolgirl outfits or the like office admin I don't know, clerk vibe. Like, I don't know, pencil skirt and white button-up is what I'm thinking in my head. You know, what kind of different things do you on occasion like to see?
That's more of almost discussing specific kinks than just lingerie. I mean, if you have a themed party, then things like that are very fun to fit with the theme. Otherwise, I don't think a lot of those types of specific things matter or things that people are particularly looking for in general.
Yeah.
That's more of just a porn category or party theme.
If you think about it in terms of like, do you want the vibe to come off as like a dominatrix or do you want me to look like a sweet, innocent little package tied up in a bow? I mean, while that is tied to like a kink and a vibe, it's also like, which one's actually going to turn you on, you know? Or are you down for both on any given day?
Yeah, that one. Remember, male brain.
You're so easy to please. Okay.
I particularly like things that are kind of strappy, you know, body tight, but lined type things, not covering a whole lot.
Yeah.
Lace can look really good if you enjoy it and it's a decent fit product. I think the reason why they can't do softer lace is because the textures just don't really hold up. You know, if you tried to make it out of silk, it wouldn't really keep.
Yeah, they do have softer lace. It's really fucking expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, I'm not super into the dominatrix thing. Like I said, I liked there was one outfit I think that you had that was just a leathery looking like bar around your boobs and a short mini skirt.
Yeah,
that was definitely pretty cool. I think you've had some like faux leather looking leggings or like spandex type things that were tight that are pretty attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really liked like the purple outfit that you have that's all strapped with the legs and the thong, like all the
lines.
Yeah,
I have one that has like, it's got like the legs and the garters and then the like belt that attaches to it and then a really nice matching top. And it's all my perfect purple. If you didn't know, I love purple. So let's think about like, do you like things that are crotchless or, for instance, they have ones that have like boob cutouts and stuff and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. That fits in line with the lined outfits I was talking about.
And ease of access.
The one that you have that I also particularly like, I do believe it has lace on like the midsection area, but it has the cutout for your boobs and crotchless. The one that you were wearing when we discussed in one of our old episodes about the hotel takeover, and we were trying to get rid of excess jello shots because we had over prepared. And so you were walking around with your tits out and crotchless, just trying to ask people to take our jello shots.
Yep, that was in the middle of a hotel hallway.
Walking into the gangbang room and setting them down on the nightstand saying, "Here you guys go."
That's another one, though. It has lace on it. It does. But it's not actually the most comfortable of my outfits. It's not bad, but it's not the most comfortable. So it's one that, like, I would pull out if I'm going to an event that I really wanted to get dressed up for. It's not one that I'm going to always pull out on a night at home with you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it helps that it's more on the midsection. It's not lacy on your boobs, which are more
straps,
sensitive.
Some of the strap areas have some that just makes it uncomfortable. It's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any specific colors or anything else that comes to mind? Like, I guess color wise, you might relate that specifically to me because that could be dependent on the person.
Yeah. I mean, with you, I'm used to seeing you in purple.
Okay, outside of my color, are there any others you enjoy?
I generally find myself attracted to really pale skin, like your style, which I think looks particularly good with black, as well as some of the other like pastel-y colors similar to the purple that you like.
What about like reds?
Red definitely looks really good as well. I feel like that's just too stereotypical.
Everything gotcha. Comes it's like in a given.
Red. Yeah.
But you'll take it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So how does a partner's confidence while wearing lingerie affect the overall experience for you? Whether that be me or someone else you're with.
Similar to the kind of intent behind the outfit thing that I mentioned, I feel like, as well as you, we're both kind of attracted to confidence.
Okay.
Since we're generally on the more confident side, I feel like we like that in others, you know? And so an outfit can definitely make a statement about confidence, how confident you are in yourself and what you're putting out there, as well Absolutely. As intent, how excited or interested you are in the situation. You know, if you're going to go through the effort of changing into lingerie or putting on something fancy for a play session or a meetup, then you're excited and interested in doing that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so that definitely leads to a more exciting and fun situation where everyone's really put kind of effort into portraying that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, obviously in your day-to-day life, you don't always have time to, you know, get fancied up and put some lingerie on. Sometimes you're taking the quickies you can get. So it is nice to take that pause and put that intentionality behind it and put something fancy on or something that makes you feel hot, because definitely feeling good in your own skin is a part of it.
Yeah, I was about to say that. That's another thing off of the emotions wall or feelings with wearing it is within yourself. You definitely feel a different level of confidence if you're wearing something like that and rocking it in front of other people. And I don't even mean based off their reactions or what they think, you know, just you feeling good within yourself in what you're wearing. That is definitely important. And people can tell, you know, you can tell when someone is confident and comfortable in what they're wearing and how they're portraying themselves.
Yeah, which is also partially why I don't wear itchy materials, because if I'm really itchy, there's a chance you're going to be able to tell that I'm really itchy.
A chance, it's almost a given. You'll be sitting there fidgeting with the straps on it most of the time.
Thanks. So something else I was going to ask is there like a balance between feeling comfortable versus like the provocative nature of lingerie that you appreciate?
Like I said, I mean, easy to please. So whatever you're comfortable in is perfect, you know?
As long as it makes me feel sexy.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. I think we've said before that confidence is one of the base things that's more important than other things. So, yeah, I mean, you could be wearing a fuchsia bathrobe, and as long as you're confident in it, it'll be sexy.
Absolutely. They always say, like, you could be sexy in a potato sack or whatever. But the problem is potato sacks are like burlap, and that's absolutely uncomfortable and itchy. So don't you ever dare put me in one of those.
We'll get you some name brand designer silk potato sack and put you in that. That'll be our next Instagram post.
Well, Blake, I was also wondering, like, do you feel that it's important for couples to communicate when it comes to lingerie preferences within a relationship?
Yeah, I feel like that goes back to more of a baseline boundaries and kind of your rules in your relationship and in ethical non-monogamy. And then depending on the space, the event that you're going to. Of course, again, you know, you can wear whatever you want, but you want both of you to be comfortable with what you're wearing and how much you're showing. So I'd say discussing it with your partner, showing them the outfit and seeing how they feel about it at that setting. Like at a hotel takeover, I think that you being completely crotchless and tits out is fine, but at a different type of event, that might not be the outfit that I think we should be going for.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not that you like necessarily control what I wear, but if I walked out in a crotchless outfit at certain venues, you might be like, whoa, what the fuck? Yeah, like at a club, depending on the club, anyways. If I was just completely like that from the get-go, you would probably be like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, at a lot of them, it doesn't necessarily get quite that wild until a little more behind closed settings. But it's definitely about your comfort level within your relationship and yourself.
Well, do you have any tips on expressing lingerie preferences effectively between your partner?
I mean, as far as things you have, try it on and show them and ask what they like about it or don't like. As far as purchasing it for someone, at least as far as you, I've never really been able to buy you things like that without you filtering them or seeing them. I mean, if it's...
I don't like surprises anyways, so that's yeah, fine.
If it's something simple enough, maybe. But most things, I probably will pick something you'll like, but I'll still run it by you to make sure that you agree with it and think you'll like it before I order it.
Yeah. I would say that when expressing those things is kind of important to be open and honest. And then also, like, put a little bit of, I don't know, depth behind the conversation. Because, for instance, if your spouse is like, oh, man, I love this lace thong on you. Like, you should wear lace more often. And your wife is like, nah, fuck lace. I'm not wearing lace. Fuck you. Or just stops there and is like, no, I'm not wearing lace. I don't like lace. Okay, well, that's just kind of going to set a sour tone. It doesn't really explain anything. Like, ask your partner, like, okay, why don't you like this? What is it about it you don't like? What do you like? What would be better? How can we find something that, you know, is within what I like and what you like? Actually kind of really dig in and find something that pleases you visually and, you know, the texture and the comfort and the feel pleases you for both of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that makes sense. You don't ever want to just shut down the conversation with a no, yes. You know, you want to kind of elaborate why or what you like, what you dislike.
Absolutely. And with that being said, we kind of talked through some of that. I was curious if there was any specific moments where lingerie really played like a role in the intimate experience for you. Anything memorable?
I mean, you deciding to wear that outfit to the hotel takeover was pretty memorable to me. Because that was our first hotel takeover. And I mean, maybe...
I packed that one as a bonus and I was like, I'm going for it.
We were maybe, a month to 2 months in the lifestyle, I think, when we went with Paul and Nikki to the first one. So for you to wear that confidence was very attractive to me. Oh. That was definitely a big turn on.
I was feeling pretty bold that night.
As well as, before that, it wasn't quite lingerie, but when we were on the business trip in Vegas that kind of started all of this, that night that we went out, the outfit that you were wearing then.
You talking about like the little white slip dress thing?
No, the like short black mini skirt with like the jewels and the like I remember barely a shirt that you were wearing.
That one was really high class and pretty.
Yeah, it looked good. And wearing that out in Vegas was that confidence was also very hot.
Awesome. Yeah. I liked both of those. Those both made me feel good. Like I smile just thinking about like wearing those. And I haven't had an opportunity, like the black one. Oof. It has a whole set of jewels that hang on one side. It's a beautiful skirt. Have not had a place to wear that too. So we need to fix that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll wear that at the next hotel takeover.
Yeah, that would be a good outfit. I mean, at least start with that. You can always put something else on.
Uh-huh. Do you appreciate variety in lingerie?
I mean, yeah, but I also appreciate money.
All right. Well, on that note, so I wanted to kind of talk about some places you can get lingerie. So, like, obviously, I order a lot of stuff on Amazon, love Amazon. That's definitely an option. Just make sure you're checking size charts. And doing your due diligence, kind of looking through. I look at reviews to get an idea about texture if I'm ordering on Amazon, but I will say that's one thing that does make it challenging, ordering lingerie versus shopping in person, which locally there's really not anywhere I love to shop for lingerie. However, there were a couple sites recommended. Outside of that, I was basically told on like Shein or Shine or Shein. I'm pretty sure it's Shein, whatever you want to call it. And probably Temu too, that those are not the best places. And that you're very likely to be disappointed with those. So don't even go there. As much as it would save money. But in the interest, for Blake's sake, of saving money, I found a few that do have some great positives. And one of the ones with really great pricing, let me find it here for you, just one brief second, is called Playful Promises. So Playful Promises offers a variety of different lingerie, bras, nightwear, and other things like that. And they have some really great prices as well as a sale section with sets as low as $20. How does that make your wallet feel?
A little bit better.
A little bit better?
Yeah, I like variety if it doesn't cost as much.
So Playful Promises is definitely an option. It looks like they do have some good plus size options as well. They've got a lot of lace, corsets, bodysuits, all kinds of different things, even within that $20 sale category. So really awesome selection there. Blake, I think you should look at getting me some.
Is that a hint?
Hint, hint, hint. And then the next one from there that I found as far as price and recommendation is called Blue Bella. Blue Bella was interesting because they have a sales section offering sets that range from probably like the $50 to $80 range. So that was cool.
Do you remember the site that Nikki had mentioned to you previously?
Yes, Nikki really likes to use Adore Me. I'm not 100% positive how much like real kink stuff Adore Me has, but I know if you're looking for bras, panties, just like top and bottom sets and a little bit of like bodysuits and stuff, Adore Me is a great place to shop as well. Yeah, Blue Bella seems like it has some pretty high quality products. And as far as like you mentioned, you really like the strappy things. They have a lot of both strappy and lacy things and a combination of strappy and lacy things.
So nice.
Some really interesting stuff on there. Also, some things that have more like, you know, metal chains or sheer parts and stuff like that. So that's always fun. Ooh, or like nipple covers. Although, why cover the nips, man? Why cover the nips? Free the nips.
There were some nipple stickers or tassels or covers or something that you wouldn't let me get you.
I can't remember. I'm sure Paul would call me on this. He'd be able to tell me where we were. But we were at a shop and they had ones that were like, I feel like they were shimmery, sparkly pot leaves.
Yeah.
That were nipple covers that, oof, I was really tempted to get. But then I was really also worried about the adhesive. So I stopped and did not buy them. Oh, look. Blue Bella also offers some pajamas if you want to be able to get comfy after you get laid.
You generally have pajamas or a robe packed in the bag with us when we go to play.
I usually have something or like I have an outfit for after that's on the comfier side.
And some fuzzy slippers to slip into out of your shoes before we leave.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Obviously, Victoria's Secret is an option. Holes is an option, things like that. Now, another one that's interesting is Fenty. What is it? I swear it's Rihanna. She has a line of lingerie that's really awesome and pretty reasonably priced. I think you can subscribe to it or something and get better deals even. But yeah, that's also a really good option. They have plus sizes and really good things for all sorts of women. Well, anyways, so that is what I have for you guys on lingerie. I am sure there are more websites, and if anyone is really interested, I'd be happy to do some more research for you all and put together a list, but I'll link what I've mentioned. And in the meantime, I think we're going to take a quick break and move on. Isn't that right, Blake?
Yep, we're going to take a quick break, and then we are going to answer the question that Paul and Nikki were discussing at the end of the last episode that they did without us, so that we can kind of give our perspective and take on that.
Okay, awesome.
All right, we'll see you guys in a minute. Mm-hmm. All right, welcome back from the break. We are going to answer that question from the end of the last episode that Paul and Nikki discussed. And we're going to go ahead and repeat the full question here for anyone who didn't catch that part and is just listening to this episode.
Okay, awesome. So the question, just to reference, was what was your first day after your first real experience with your partner? Did you wake up with the what the fuck have we done? Has it changed how you treated each other for a few days after? How quickly have you been able to discuss the details with each other? Right away or after a while, basically anything to consider and expect after that first deep jump in. And I love this question, and I also really liked being able to hear Paul and Nikki's response to this. definitely interesting to think about the differences of what that might be like for different couples. You guys, as a more experienced, or not experienced, I guess just a couple that's been together longer, I really would encourage you to talk through the details, to set those boundaries really well. I think jumping in, yeah, I definitely also had the thought of, oof, are we going to fuck up what we've got going by testing the waters here? Did you ever have that thought?
To an extent, but only pretty mildly. To be honest,
no, you didn't worry about it,
which maybe is a problem. Now, we had experimented slightly before with threesomes and stuff, and had long discussed that as a fantasy, and we've had a very high level of confidence in our relationship. You know, we've not ever been the type to cheat at all, of course, or go through each other's phones, or even really be that jealous in general. So I wasn't super concerned in that regard. I felt like we'd both do a pretty good job at just doing it for the enjoyment and for being together, mm-hmm. and not really have too many issues.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, there's two experiences that come to mind when I think of our first experiences. There's our first soft swap and then our first full swap. And really, for this question, I feel like the first full swap just feels more applicable. But I would probably echo most of this about the first soft swap time. The first time we ever full swapped was with Paul and Nikki, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting perspective there. But definitely when we drove home that night, like, what was going through your head?
I mean, we pretty much started talking right away. Like, because it's a little bit of a drive back to our mm-hmm. house. So as soon as we got in the car, we started talking.
Yeah. I feel like once we were on their road, we were kind of like, so.
Well, and like, relating back to our discussion in this episode here, I kind of already knew we had both enjoyed the situation.
Yeah, so the first responses that we both gave, I remember, were like quick agreements. Like, yeah, that was a good time. Like, both of us yes. kind of agreed to that pretty quick.
Yeah, we were both saying that was good. We had fun. You know, there weren't any real problems. There was nothing that we were like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe we did that. It was more, wow, I can't believe we could do that. You know,
yeah. Like,
well, that was okay, an option so this whole time.
Let's address that, though. In that situation, one of the first things that you should think about is that question, though. Like, did you enjoy yourself, and did we together enjoy ourselves? Like, before you let any of the stuff come in your head of, oh God, did we fuck anything up? And what's it going to be like tomorrow? Before any of that starts, just check in. Like, did you guys enjoy it? Because that's going to be a big aspect of it, of how do you feel about it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think discussing it on like a drive home like that is very useful because you have that time where you can just talk about the situation and make sure you're both on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't get home and just separate or go to bed or continue not discussing the situation.
Yeah. And then, you know, let's say you have a short drive. So as you're getting home, maybe it's like a, hey, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get settled. And then like, we're going to get in bed together and talk about this more. Or, you know, we're going to pick up where we left off on that conversation. Just definitely make sure you have the opportunity to really talk through it. And not just, yeah, I liked it. Like, okay, well, what did you like? What was your best part? What was the favorite part to you? You know, was there anything you didn't like? Was there anything that scared you or pushed your boundaries? Or was there anything that you really want to explore more of? Like, those are all good questions to be asking your partner.
Yeah, and talking about those boundaries, to make sure you don't have a situation that's worse as far as the what have we done, is to make sure you have very set, clear boundaries going into those initial interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And don't push them. Don't change them, especially if y'all have been, you know, partaking in anything like alcohol that might affect your decisions that you might regret more later.
Yeah, I would highly recommend, and you know, this is just a recommendation, but I would highly recommend that if this is your first real experience, that you definitely stick to the boundaries. And instead of having some boundaries that might be a little bit movable, just stick with all the boundaries are firm for, you know, for that night. Because then you have an opportunity to check in and think back and review before you start adjusting boundaries. And I think that's really important.
I feel like we kind of jumped in a little bit quicker than a lot of other couples probably do. But we did still have, you know, a discussion going into it of what we were looking to do. And we had agreed we were open to full swap as long as we both gave the approval, as long as we both were having a good time. We both enjoyed the couple. We wanted to progress with that. And so once we had confirmed that we were okay with that, we liked the people, of course, Paul and Nikki. So clearly we liked them at least a little bit, you know.
Here we are.
We decided to go, you know, go ahead and do that, and we full swapped. And so discussing it afterward was more just confirming to each other, you know, we enjoyed it. Everything's okay. We did, you know, what we said we were okay with doing. And so as far as like the further out part of the question, how did it affect us, you know, a week later or what have you? It didn't, other than, you know, we communicated more about those specific things. Leading into the lifestyle for us, we had already started communicating really heavily about our sexual fantasies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we've always communicated fairly well. So it wasn't really too different, other than we had something kind of new and exciting to talk about.
Yeah, I think that would be my main note on it, was more like there was a certain amount of excitement and hype surrounding it, you know, as there would be anything new in your life. So it came up in conversation frequently at that point, and it felt easy to talk about, which goes to show that we're comfortable speaking with each other about it, and that's nice. Definitely, you want to also be receptive to what your partner tells you, so that your partner also feels that level of safety and comfort in discussing your experiences together. And I think it's important that when you first have that experience and that first discussion on, like, how was this? I know it sounds therapy-y and mushy, but, like, really don't hesitate to use the how did you feel about that or how did that make you feel question. Because, for instance, let's say you full swapped and it was same room and he's sitting there watching you experience that while he experiences that. I mean, that has a question to it. How did watching me with someone else make you feel? I feel like that's an important question for both partners that first time around.
Yeah, that was definitely something we discussed on the way home. And I know,
and there's no wrong answer to that.
Yeah, and I know we both said it then, but as we got farther on, I think we were both a little surprised how much that did turn us on, the watching each other, you know, give and receive pleasure.
Well, we didn't really have any jealousy issues. It's like neither of us really felt jealous.
Yeah.
That first time. I guess nothing about that experience with Paul and Nikki really triggered much jealousy at the time. I think we were too in the moment excited in the experience, and so being jealous about anything wasn't really top of mind, and we were comfortable, so it wasn't like an issue.
And we were lucky enough to get to do that with a couple that we both really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see if one person or the other had a better or worse experience, you know, depending on compatibility or how someone may have performed, that could definitely lead to more jealousy issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if one partner or the other did not have the best of times, like, I mean, it's good to note that you want to kind of empathize with that. Like, man, I enjoyed myself, babe. I'm sorry you didn't have the greatest time tonight. I'm sorry you didn't experience what you wanted to tonight. So that in that initial conversation, if there is kind of like an imbalance in what you got out of the night, it won't sting as much.
Well, I don't think I have much more to add to that.
Yeah, no, I would love that question. So really thank the person who posted that question in a comment. Really appreciate you guys for interacting and for reaching out. It sounds like you guys are looking at dipping your toes in and trying out the lifestyle. So I wish you the best of luck. And thank you guys for listening to us.
Small correction. That one was an email. Definitely email us at friendswithpineapples@gmail.com.
Because I'm looking at a screenshot of it. Thanks.
I thought that was
then a conversed in email afterwards.
Okay. Well, or our website, friendswithpineapples.com, has a contact form that technically just emails us. So, you know, whichever's easier, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of, did you just mention the website? Yeah, so we did get the website finished. I don't know when Paul and Nikki might have announced that, but go Blake.
Yeah, it's definitely still kind of a work in progress, but
it is something.
It at least has a little bit more about us. It's got a player for the the recent episodes. It's got a contact form, you know. We can use that to
grow from there.
Yeah, to announce further things and kind of grow from there. Being a computer and IT person, just owning the domain for our podcast name before someone decides to buy it and try to sell it back is, you know, a bonus. So it's at least there. And if you want to contact us there or have any suggestions of what we should do, then definitely let us know.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you guys. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
If you've liked this episode, please give us a 5-star rating. And for any comments, questions, or concerns, feel free to email us at friendswithpineapples@gmail.com. Thanks.
Perfect.